So what a day is Thursday, April 30th, 2026, and this is the week in charts. Obviously, I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to be here. So what are we going to talk about? Well, obviously, current market conditions, I have a lot to say about that. Your questions on trading, your favorite stock and crypto picks, you can type all that in now. I'm going to continue my methodology in action, as I have been doing for about a year or so, where I talk about what I recommend and then show how everything shook out and sometimes showing the actual trades too, which I'll do on the Ogre walkthrough, which we'll get to in a few minutes. That's trading an opening gap reversal. There's my contact information. We'll come back to that in just 1 second. There's a disclaimer screen. As you know, you can lose money trading. Ours off to sum it up. All predictions about the future and a lot of stuff could happen between now and then. There's my contact information once again. You can also reach me at dave@davelandry.com. As I've been saying ad nauseum, let me see if I can say it as quickly as possible. The missing piece for me early in my trading career was actually seeing someone else trade and seeing, more specifically, seeing the ups and downs, and that even people who've been doing this for a long time actually have a lot of ups and downs, and as opposed to like the gurus that brag about their trades and they don't show you all the bad trades. So I try to show you everything as far as it relates specifically to the core methodology, and more specifically to my trading service here. And then I also like to show you some ancillary things I throw out on Facebook, for instance, such as the Ogre trade. We'll get to that in just 1 second. Anyway, let's follow up on DNA. This is a farmer mystery chart. A nice uptrend, lots of Landry light. TKO type of move down to the 30 EMA. I love those Landry light pullbacks. There's the parameters, entries here, stop is down here, initial profit target is up here. And you can see triggers an entry, doesn't do a whole lot, rallies up a bit, but unfortunately kind of tanks for a while. And then since then, it's tried to recover, but then over the last week or so, it's actually dropped back down a little bit. But so far, at least to where it was yesterday, that is a 726 improvement. So we're not going to bail on this one until and unless we're stopped out, obviously. So maybe not as excited as I was about this one coming back, although it's coming back a little today. So that number is probably about $250 better than that. But it's becoming more of a towny type of market. You can do it. CLMT was not a mystery chart. And that means that it's just something that triggered intra-week in between shows. And by the way, when I do all this research or when I grab these charts and all, I go in and look at DaveLandry.com/archives. If you want to see the newer ones, YouTube.com/DaveLandry. If you want to see them live, DaveLandry.com/trading service. All those links should be in the comments below if you're watching a recording of this. Anyway, double top knockout pattern there. We talked about that one a few weeks ago. I'd recommend you go in and watch it. By the way, look at this portfolio. How great. This was a while back. I guess it was on at the end of February. And since then, portfolio is not looking as good. We obviously stopped out of a bunch of these. And we're doing what I guess I'd call portfolio pivot, for lack of a better phrase or word. The stocks that are stopping out are obviously coming out of the portfolio, and the new stocks will start going in. Now, keep in mind, we had kind of a melt-up cycle, so it's taken a little while to catch up because it's a trend following methodology. It's not a bottom picking methodology where you got lucky and caught a bottom. You wait for a trend to develop, then you look to get on, just as I show you in all of these setups. Anyway, entries here, stops here, initial profit targets up here. And it triggers the meanders a little bit, but then begins to take off, hits the initial profit target, and then stops out. And that's what I call the better than a poke in the eye trade, where you make a little money on the first loaf, 1% on your account overall. And then you get stopped out of the rest. If that's the worst you ever did, you would own the world fairly soon. Monster Energy. Now, again, like I said a minute ago, we were adjusting to the rollover that we had in the overall market. Lots of bow ties were setting up. We didn't get super aggressive. I get less aggressive now on the short side, unless, of course, we get into a longer term bear market. Then I'm going to be a little bit more aggressive. But I try to not put on too many shorts just in case the market did exactly what it did. The whole thing is just a big fake out. But anyway, I think you have to play the hand that's dealt. DC made all-time highs. At all-time highs, everybody's happy. I'm going to come back to that concept in just a few minutes. Makes a bow tie to the downside, pulls back to complete the setup. That's a fairly textbook-looking setup. And there's all the parameters. Again, you can get those at DaveLenner.com/archives. Entry stop is way up here. The great thing about transitional patterns, as I often say, is let's say you're entering here, okay? And you can have a stop fairly close to brand new highs, all-time highs. If that stock goes on to make all-time highs, you know you're wrong. Sometimes with a pullback, maybe if you're trading a shallow pullback, and you get long, and then it starts pulling back a little more. It's like, is it just correcting the longer-term trend? And will it eventually stop, or is it going to keep pulling back, and eventually turn into a top? You don't know that, okay? So it's hard sometimes to get that stop just right. You need to give it enough room, but not so much room that you give up, that you end up in a complete trend reversal. With a transitional pattern, even though they're less accurate, the good news is if you get stopped out, usually it's at a place where you know you're wrong. Let's say you're trading a bow tie on the downside. Your stop might be close to that all-time low. And if it goes back toward that all-time low, then you know you're wrong. Same thing here. If it goes back to all-time highs, then you know you're wrong. Well, you don't want to, in this case, we're not going to give it all the way to all-time highs, but if it gets close enough, then we'll have some concern, obviously. And initially, it moved nicely in our favor, and since then, it's been kind of working its way higher. And when I took this snapshot, we had $300 open, negative $300 open in this trade. All right, here's this week's mystery chart. You can see it was a bit of a gradual trend. If you back this chart way out, which I'll do in upcoming webinars if you like, you'll see that it was in a long trend. And this kind of gradual up move here was kind of more of a consolidation than anything. But it definitely was in a gradual uptrend since February. Then it began to accelerate higher. I like acceleration and ideally persistency. And also, I like the stock to trade cleanly. Now, persistency and cleanly are usually one and the same or very similar. If a stock's persistent, meaning it tends to go up day after day after day, it's also trading cleanly. If it sort of consolidates and sort of works its way higher and it's just not all over the place like electrocardiogram, that's another way of saying that a stock is trading cleanly. Anyway, nice little Landry light below. The Landry light goes to zero when the stock pulls back to the moving average. And this is a TKO. And by the way, somebody was asking me the other day, somebody international, not United States, I should say, about a TKO, and the bar wasn't quite as wide as this one. So this, I'd call this a TKO, trend knockout, where the stock sells off really hard, and that likely knocks out some nervous Nellies and attracts some eager shorts. But if you can combine a couple of bars, and you could do it either through your charting package or through your mind's eye, and say, okay, well, here's a high here, okay? And then let's, you know, these two bars are kind of inconsequential. But then you have the sell-off here. So you can kind of see this whole thing as one huge knockout bar if you're sort of use your mind's eye to put them together. So if that bar wasn't so, that last bar wasn't so wide, but it was still a deep pullback, you can kind of use your mind's eye to put them together or just punch in a two-day, a three-day chart. And it's sometimes a TKO can be easier to recognize. Anyway, nice little TKO move again down to the 30 EMA. So it's a TKO, and it's also a Landry-like pullback. So most of my patterns are pullback related, except for some IPO stuff, which is breakout related, or some of it is breakout related. But most of my stuff is pullback related, and so sometimes a TKO might be a persistent pullback, and also a Landry-like pullback, and so there's combinations thereof. But there's different ways of, I don't know if I want to say defining, but qualifying, not quantifying pullbacks. Anyway, entries here, stop is down here, initial profit target is up here, and so far this one hasn't triggered, so we'll see what happens. All right, any questions on those? Once again, speculation is very alive and well. When we had that rollover for the Landry 100, there were a couple days where I had like 95 out of 100, and I thought I was going to end up building more and more slots, but the market melted up shortly thereafter, and I was able to find plenty of stocks, plenty of momentum out there. Now, as I mentioned last week, and probably many times since, the idea is to ride your winners and cut your losses short. If you look at the closed trades coming out, which I'll show you some in a few minutes, you'll notice that most of those were put on in April very recently. So I'm doing a constant window dressing until I get my team, so to speak, looking really, really good. Don't know if I mixed metaphors there, but you're, as a portfolio manager, now this is hypothetical, but let's just assume that it's real for a second. My goal is to stick with the winners and kick the losers out. And I think that's probably a good way to run your business. As I often say, and this all comes from an email many years ago by a client who said that he was treating his portfolio, or at least used to, as his children. And anything short of mass murder, you're going to stick with your children and back your children and obviously not get rid of them. But with employees, if you've got four employees and three are busting their butt, and one busting their butts and one sitting on his butt, who's going to get fired? Well, hopefully the one that's sitting on his butt, and hopefully you don't think, okay, well, these guys have been doing so well, they're due to stop working as hard, so I'm going to get rid of them, and I'm going to keep Joe over here because maybe tomorrow he's going to start working. Who knows? But anyway, the more recent ones, as you'll see in a few minutes, were taken out. Most of the ones were taken out recently at losses, and the big winners are still in the portfolio. And this one goes all the way back to March. So that's a year and change. And then you can see WDC went in last July. And what's another big gainer? This AXTI, which we played, unfortunately got stopped out of. That went in last October. So you kind of get the idea. Your better ones are the ones that you're going to stick with longer term. Now, as it's going live, I happen to notice that this one is up 40%, and I just put it in a portfolio, so that's kind of cool. So you can see today's changed 40%, or almost 41%. Now, I just want to show you this. Results not typical, but plausible, okay? So let me just back this out for a second. Years ago, I learned from a day trader that surprises tend to happen in the direction of the trend. It doesn't mean that you still won't get whacked in a trend, right? And I'm going to show you one in a few minutes that got absolutely creamed. But as a general statement, surprises tend to happen in the direction of the trend. Well, why is that? Well, somebody who bought this back here, or some of this buying, this pent-up demand that we've been seeing in this stock, they could have known something, okay? If somebody knows something, they're going to leave their footprints on the charts. And that's our whole job as technicians, to read the charts and determine whether or not there's supply, demand, or if there's equilibrium, supply meeting demand. 6-7. The results are typical, but occasionally plausible. And the idea, again, is to ride your winners to cut your losses short. Now, this one ran over 600%, okay? Triggered way back in December. By trigger, it made a new closing high. So for me to put a stock into the Landry 100, it has to make a new closing high. Ideally, plenty of volume, and ideally also trending nicely, or at least breaking out before it goes in. By the way, I would not run a small portfolio of, let's say, 5 stocks or maybe even 10 stocks by buying the new closing highs, although you probably do better than buying new closing lows. That I can almost guarantee. But if you have 100 stocks, you will occasionally catch a few outliers that make it all worthwhile. So this stock imploded about 50% the other day and about 64% from peak to trough. But still, since it was put in here last December, again, like December 3rd, I think, memory serves, it was still up 200%. And I'll show you the spreadsheet in 1 second. Now, one reason I wanted to show you this today is I see a lot of people out there with pure short-term systems. And I don't think a pure short-term system will work longer term. I was a huge fan of short-term stuff back in the late 90s, but everything was working back then. But you can and will occasionally get whacked. And if you're not making enough money by catching a few longer-term trends, you're not going to pay for that occasional debacle du jour like this. But anyway, so you made 200%, even though you took a haircut toward the end. By the way, one thing I was thinking about, or I think about quite often, I think if I ever did put real money into the Landry 100, what I would do is if something, because there's no money management in this, when something gets whacked or loses steam, whatever the case may be, I take it out. So this is a no-brainer. It loses 40% in one day or 50%. You got to take it out, right? But one thing I was thinking about is I think you'd be foolish not to take partial profits when you're up 100%. And I know longer term, you'd probably be better off not taking those partial profits because you'll have something like that AXTI go up 1,000%. Now, keep in mind, eventually it's going to have a, it's going to get spanked a little, right? So you're not guaranteed that 1,000%, or if it goes to 2,000, you're not guaranteed that, or whatever the case may be. So I think a little money management would probably be necessary, real money. I'm just trying to keep this thing as pure as possible so we could see momentum. And the great thing about it is all these themes play out, like Roger winners and Kutch losses short, and you're able to see all this. And if you want to recreate this on your own, you should, okay? And again, I can give you the formulas, but the formulas are pretty simple. I'm just looking for stocks that's making at least a 52-week closing high. Decent volume, 200K, maybe 300K at least on that. So you could technically, you could say, well, there's enough volume there to where you could buy this for some sort of a smallish fund, okay, like $1 million fund or something. Smallish, considering like, you know, as opposed to billions of dollars. And ideally, some trend there and some structure too. And I think if you bought enough of these, I think you do okay, especially when the market's blowing and going. So here's all the closed trades since April 22nd. Car, for instance, this thing just absolutely melted up. Now, that would have been one where you absolutely should be taking profits, or half profits, I should say, not all profits, but 50% profits or half the profits when it's up 100%. But you can see it still made a, you still ended up with 74% overall. But if you take a look at car absolutely imploded, as you knew it would. It was some sort of short squeeze or something. Nah, I don't want to confuse the issue with facts, but it's doubtful that a rental car company, and that's a very competitive business, is just going to go up 400% and stay there. Now, semiconductor that has some sort of proprietary technology possibly, or a biotechnology stock that has the potential to cure some hard disease, yeah, that might go up a tremendous amount because the market is looking ahead thinking that down the road they're going to make a shit ton of money, okay? Whereas something like a car, it's like eventually people come to their senses once the shorts are squeezed out. Now, I wouldn't rush out and try to short something going straight up, but if you're fortunate enough to be long, you might want to scale out a little bit along the way. And like this one here, DHC, I don't know if that made it to 100%. It might have. I'll have to check it out. But here's the ERES. That's the one I wanted to show you. And it stopped out for a 200% gain. Much better than Pokadi. Now, when you say, well, Dave, is up 600%. It's like, yeah, well, you know, it happens. And that's a good way to see without having your hard-earned money on the line running something like this. Good way to see the nuances of momentum and the fact that it happens, right? To spell the silent S-H. Anyway, so this is what I wanted to show you. So last week, just last week, when I showed the big winners, okay, you'll notice that ERAS was up over 600%. So again, there might be some sort of profit taking, maybe at 100%. Sometimes in crypto, and it's been a while, I hadn't made a crypto, I can't remember my last crypto trade, but sometimes in crypto, I'll get in, let's say it goes up 100%, I might take off half, and then if it goes up 100% again, if it doubles again, I might take a little bit more off too. And then of course you always want to hold on a piece to get that potential longer term gain. All right, any questions on all that? We'll keep going. All right, I want to talk about trading opening gap reversals. I'm not a huge day trader, although I do probably do more than I should. I feel like I'm Dave Landry. I should be able to day trade as well as I position trade and all this other stuff. And I actually have a little stream deck, which has little buttons, which I push to do different things, different charts and stuff. And one of them, well, I have one menu for like different things like we're doing now, whatever, but I have another menu called KOMAM, King of All Markets, where I feel like, you know, my ego wants me to be able to do trade all markets in all time frames and all. And you're probably better off specializing. And it's like when I look at the trading service, and we've had a loss since, so it's the string has been broken. But we went 6 months with only one loss, and that's I can't guarantee you I could do that again. Eventually I will, but not tomorrow. Okay, might need a little longer than 6 months. But the thing is, obviously, I've kind of got that dialed in. What I don't have dialed in would be like the chase my tail all day day trading, nor should I, okay? However, where I'm going with this is if you wait for a carefully chosen setup, like these ogres, if you come in day after day after day, and I'm going to preach patience in just a minute, but if you come in day after day after day and you finally get one, and I'll show you why I like this one, then you can make a lot of money really fast. Now, the ogre is an opening gap reversal. And one of my clients, and I get so much info from all of you guys, I have a hard time cataloging it. But I thank you for that. Somebody said, why not call him an ogre? Opening gap reversal. Anyway, it's kind of the flip side of what we do with the core methodology. Not that we won't trade big cap stocks. Like right now, we're probably going to find ourselves in a lot of big cap type of stocks fairly soon, such as the semiconductors, okay? Because that's what's blowing and going right now, okay? But it's kind of just the opposite with the ogre. You want like a big, well-known stock. Not that I would look at institutional sponsorship, but it probably has a lot of institutional sponsorship. Not exactly efficient, okay, which sometimes comes with all these things in a crowded playing field. But you do want to have a crowded playing field, meaning that there's a lot of people with a lot of interest in the stock, in ample volume, tons and tons of volume. You could try trading ogres in a thinner stock, but I think you might find out there's not enough interest in the stock to propel it higher, okay? At least for your intraday trade, it's like everybody gets washed out on the gap, okay? And there's nobody left to buy. Whereas with an ogre, you have pent up demand. The stock's going straight up, so you know you have demand, and all of a sudden, bam, it gets whacked, okay? So the Johnny Come Latelys get knocked out. I'm gonna flesh this out in a little more detail in a second, but the Johnny Come Latelys get knocked out, the eager shorts get sucked in. You got a lot of people kind of all running for the door at the same time. And when that selling exhausts itself, it's kind of like pushing a ball into water because you've got that longer term demand that comes back in. And maybe, and I'm just pulling stuff out my buttocks, but you know, maybe you're an institution and you want to be long a particular stock, AXTI or whatever, or AMKR, like we just talked about, like we're going to talk about here. And you forgot to buy it, or your VWAP is off, and you're under the gun because your cost basis is too high or something, and you're under a magnifying glass. Well, sometimes you get a gap down like this, an institution might come in and say, okay, this thing's on sale. Bad idea if you're a private trader, but maybe an institution come in and say, this thing's on sale. I got tons of volume. I could go ahead and act on it and jump in. On the flip side, think about this. Sometimes on fantastic earnings, you'll have a huge influx of volume because the institutions might use that as a liquidity event. But anyway, you want a crowded playing field to make sure there's a lot of players in there, and a lot of them are going to be trapped on the wrong side of the market. Now, you want to see a stock in a solid uptrend, ideally with persistence and acceleration. People sometimes ask me about an ogre in a longer-term downtrend. You've got something that goes down like this, and all of a sudden, gaps way down. It's like, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to catch that falling knife, okay? So you want persistency, acceleration, and other trend qualifiers, obviously. Now, they don't come along every day. Be patient and wait. If all I did was let the market come to me with everything that I do, I feel like I would own the world, you know? But it's like right now, it's like there's always expenses, right? And then my wife's like, oh, let's go visit our daughter. It's like, okay, let's look at plane tickets. Like, oh, geez. If you hadn't looked at plane tickets in a while, it's a bit of a shock. And it's like, okay, we're going to do that. I need a laptop because my old laptop is old. You know, it's like, I'm going to need all these things. So there's always an expense. So it's like, I know what I'll do. I just come in and make some day trades and pay for it all. It's like, no, you don't, Danny. You know, it doesn't work that way. The market doesn't care about your needs or your wants or your expenses and all these other things. But if you're very patient, and if you could block off all of that extraneous that I'm often talking about, right? It's kind of like Tom McClellan's mother said, paraphrasing, everyone uses timing in their investment. Some people buy when they have money, some people sell when they need money, and others use for more sophisticated methods, okay? So a lot of that is extraneous influences. So right now my extraneous influence is, hey, I need cash, right? So it's hard to sit here in front of all these screens all day and not feel tempted to do something. But if I wait and wait and wait and wait and wait, I tend to do really well. I don't, you know, not every trade is going to work, obviously, even if you're patient. But for the most part, you're going to find those trades will be more of the money lying in the corner type of trades that Jimmy Rogers talked about at Market Wizard. So Jimmy Rogers once said he just waits until there's money lying in the corner and all he does is walk over and pick it up. Well, it's not that easy. But sometimes what these ogres, I don't want to get you too excited, I don't want to oversell them, but sometimes with these ogres, it can be, and you can make a lot of money really fast. Now, if you think about it, and this is a little easier to explain back in the day when you had like market makers on the floor, but there's still market makers out there. So a market maker has to buy and sell stock, okay? And what a market maker is going to do is, especially if the stock's getting whacked, and again, everybody's running for the door at the same time, he has to buy that stock, okay? Now, there's some fun and games that happen, but they have to buy at least so much of it. And I mean, that's a problem, I think, in some of these market crashes, the market makers were like not answering their phones, right? You know, sorry, I can't come to the phone right now. Please call me back after the crash. But anyway, the market maker is going to bid as low as he can for the stock that he has to buy because he's going to have to try to make some money off of it and flip it out later, okay? So that's his job. If he's forced to buy the stock, he's like, okay, I'll buy it from you, but I'm going to discount it $5 or $10 or whatever the case may be. Knowing that, I'll be able to, or it'll bring itself up, and I'll be able to bring it up later in the day. I don't know if they can manipulate it up, but I know years ago in the Florida, there were fun and games that got played. Anyway, so here's the post I put out in Facebook in my group, Dave Landry's Trend Traders. The group is free, but you do have to be at least a gold member of DaveLandry.com or a service member, which if you're a service member, you get all the other goodies too. Anyway, and the Ogre of the Day Award goes to AMKR. I run this little scan before the open. Okay, you can see it got whacked pretty hard. Let's take a look at that. So first of all, you have a big blue arrow pointing higher, okay? That's pretty obvious, pretty decent run there. Also notice that it was a very persistent one. It tends to go up day after day after day, and the bars kind of stack on each other, okay? And then you could draw a line through all or nearly all of them. Now, mathematically, as I preach, that's equivalent to linear regression. You know me, I like to keep it simple. I just draw lines on the chart. But again, I don't actually use that other than for S&Gs. Now, at an all-time high, everyone who bought previously to that high tick, okay, is happy, okay? And again, it's human nature. And again, with my form of technical analysis, keep it really simple, the trading simplified mantra, right, is that we're reading the psychology of the market, okay? So anybody who bought the stock prior to the new high is happy. If that stock begins to sell off, they are not. Now, the Johnny-come-latelys, if they're buying at brand new highs and then the market begins to implode, okay, they're the last ones in and the first ones out, LIFO, okay? Because they bought the stock, they're like, yeah, I'm feeling good, I've got this AMKR at 79. It might go to 150 or more. And then the next day, it starts selling off a little bit, and they're down $5, okay? So those are the absolute worst traders. They don't have staying power either margin-wise or mentally-wise, okay? And that's kind of the basis or part of the basis of the TKO, the trend knockout. And it also sucks in some eager shorts, okay? Now, the eager shorts, if the market begins to reverse, when they cover, that buying is pent up buying, okay? And they're going to push the stock higher. Anyway, I did a screen capture to show that this one has 3.8 million shares on average. That's the 30-day average volume wise, okay? And that's a $75 stock. So if you did the math on that, that's huge cap, considered a huge cap type of stock based on that volume times price. Anyway, now, also of interest is the SMH has been absolutely melting up as of late, okay? So you know you've got semiconductors behind you. You know the stock looks pretty good, okay? And also the market looks pretty good. Now, years ago, I worked with a day trader, assisting him with some things, and eventually did a little stock picking and ghostwriting for him, but that's another story altogether, a two-drink minimum on that one. But one thing that he would do, even though he was a day trader, he would look at the market. He would look at the sector. He would look at the stock and the stocks within the sector, a lot of things that I preach to him, okay? And then he would make sure he had all this behind him, but he might only be in for 5 minutes or 5 hours, okay, on the trade. But he put as much behind him as possible, put as much wind at his back as possible. So when I saw AMKR getting whacked, I said, well, this thing's in a great trend. And boy, semiconductors have been melting up. This might be the ogre. And that's why I put it out on Facebook. So again, at that all-time highs, your Johnny-come-latelys are buying in, and then your eager shorts are hopping on, okay? So this is a five-minute chart. And the stock opens, and it did trade a little higher. We have a one-minute chart we can look at in 1 second. By the way, I use a 30-minute chart as I preach. I think anything below that could get you caught up in the noise alone of the market, and that's probably a dangerous thing to do. And then you see it started to really, really rally, and I bought 200 shares there. And my IPT is 2 points above that level, okay? I figure 2 points is a little tight, but 2 points should be enough room for an intraday move on this one. And this was a pretty fast market when it happened. And then the initial profit target again was 2 points higher. Now, what I did was, and that's why I drew the second line in here, and it's not exactly perfect, but I put in a 2 point trailing stop, okay? And I didn't actually put that IPT in because I was doing this across multiple accounts. And by the time I got around, when I went to put in my order in one account, my limit order, I didn't notice, but the stock had already blown past it by like a point. And by the time I got to this account, it was at least a point or more away from the limit. So it was way up here, or at least, you know, a point above the limit order, somewhere up here. So what I did was, instead of taking profits at the market, which I could have, there's nothing wrong with doing that because you got your initial profit target, right? And I was ordered to break even on the remaining shares for a 2 point stop. What I did was I put in a 1 point trailing stop. Okay, so I was looking for 2 points. I'm 1 point past those 2 points, so I'm up 3 points. So I put in a 1 point trailing stop because worst case scenario, unless it gets halted, of course. But worst case scenario, if I get stopped out, at least I got that 2 points that I was looking for. Okay. So here's how it all broke down. So I ended up getting, that's almost 4 points on that loaf, okay? And then I had at least almost 3 points on this loaf, okay, from 68. So my goal was 2 points, and I was able to get almost four and almost three on the trade. So not a bad little trade for about an hour's worth of work or even less. So here's the 1 minute chart. Now, as I've said before, and just said too, I like a 30-minute chart because it keeps me sometimes from chasing my own tail. If you look at that, a 1 minute chart, even a 5 minute chart, this might be a move that big on a daily chart or that big on a 30 minute chart, but it's going to look like it's this big on a 1 minute chart. And as I've said before, whenever I find myself drilling down to a 5 minute chart, I write in my trading journal, 5 minute warning. I know I'm in some sort of trouble there. Okay. And I probably should just get out of whatever I'm in. If I'm drilling down to see if it could find some little tiny support on a 1 minute chart, a 5 minute chart or whatever. And that's when you get in a lot of trouble. So it did open here, dipped a little bit before coming back, but I was kind of late getting to this one because it was such a fast mover. But that's what a 1 minute chart looks like. Now, in an ideal world, you have an Ogre that opens and then drops, okay? I mean, not like 10 points or whatever, but it drops a little bit, and then you put in your order right above that opening range, a la Toby Crable opening range breakout type of stuff. So those are the easiest ones to trade when you have a little downside follow through before reversing. All right, any questions on the Ogres? I'll be happy to. And then once this recording is live, I'll be happy to follow up on any comments. So please ask questions, leave some comments, and I'll keep an eye out for Ogres, and I'll let you guys know in Facebook if I find any. All right, let's shift gears and let's go over to crypto real quick. And then we'll flip over to the stock market fairly quickly too. Okay, so Bitcoin has been bottoming out for quite some time. In fact, we can take a look at, let's see if I can get this over here. If we make it happen. There we go. We take a look at, we should look at the bow ties is what we should look at. Now, I prefer bow ties off of major, 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 major lows, but if you have a fairly major low, they're still significant. I like all-time highs, and I also like major lows. Let's take a look at the, I wish this thing would work. Anybody else have trouble with the wheel working on ACP? Anyway, you had a bow tie up here off of all-time highs, so that's usually a good thing when that happens. It means that your Johnny Come Latelys are stuck in this market, and when it begins to roll over, they're going to get spit out. And then a lot of times, people will hold forever. They'll exit when the market is just absolutely imploding. A lot of people don't sell stocks on the way down. They're waiting for a retrace, and they'll sell sometimes on a retrace, especially when the market begins to roll back over. That's what makes a pullback work, okay? So notice this little pullback here, okay? So it did kind of go a little higher from that, but this would have been a pullback here. Bow tie proper order, did switch over here, but then turned right back down. By the way, as I preached, and I don't know who said it first, but if somebody knows, let me know. I can't find out who. Maybe I should ask AI. But every asset class will lose at least half of its value at some point in its lifetime. And you can see right here, Bitcoin, 120 something down to 60 something. So that's half right there. And it's done that a few times. So there are no good long-term investments unless they keep going up, right? But we did bow tie back up to the upside, okay? So that's a minor bottom. The problem is you have tons and tons and tons of overhead supply. Now, there are a few stocks that I've been keeping an eye on, some of these crypto stocks like Wolf and Hut and things of that nature. So maybe the crypto stocks might be worth a shot. I would leave Bitcoin itself alone due to this overhead supply problem. But some of those other areas might be worthwhile. Ethereum is kind of bottoming out, but not quite as impressive as Bitcoin. As I preach, when these markets are blowing and going and Bitcoin's doing okay, sometimes you can just come in here and buy the strongest pairs, okay? And by that, I'm just saying trade at a small size. We're not betting the farm on these things, right? And the beauty is sometimes you can put it in an IPT like 20% away, and that can get hit fairly quickly if they keep moving, obviously. So I have been doing my homework as much as I should. I got a little pissed off yesterday because I was trying to add symbols and it wouldn't let me add symbols. So shows you how long it's been since I've cleaned up my database. But anyway, I think it's worth keeping an eye on crypto just in case it starts moving again. And just in case something really begins to take off. Like this is taking off, but it's at such low levels. I don't know if I get too excited about that. I'd much rather have something in an uptrend that began to bang out some new highs as opposed to something that's bottoming out, you know, and you're trying to catch that low because you don't know it's bottoming out. You know, one little pop off the low doesn't mean it's bottom. Anyway, any questions on crypto? We'll switch over to stocks. All right, this is that band that we were just talking about. You can see it's up 41% today, 48% since I added it. And again, if you look at the track dates, you can see this is Langer 100 that those in here the longest, or some of these huge gains have been in here the longest. Okay. And then if you look at the recent additions, you can see there's a lot more red in here, right? And that's just jockeying for position. That looks okay. But maybe on some of these, they might come out fairly soon. See, I just wrote out a correction in that. That's okay. But the idea is to kick out the losers and keep the winners, okay? I just put this one in yesterday. Because it's making all-time highs and it's an IPO, okay? So let's see what happens. But sometimes you buy right into that correction and it happens, okay? But if you have 100 stocks in a portfolio, especially if the market starts blowing and going like it's been, then you are okay because you catch enough winners to pay for the losers. All right, let's take a look at the P's and drill down a little bit. S&P 500, just a smidge off all-time closing highs, if it closes here or closes a little bit higher. So I'm not going to argue with that. In all these indices, though, keep an eye out to make sure they don't come back below their prior breakout levels. And the P's at D circa about 7,000, okay? Now, at this point in time, I'd actually like to see it accelerate higher and then pull back. But coming into today, I would have preferred to see a pullback, kind of like the Rusty did. I don't want to see an upward drift. That's actually bearish when the market takes off and then does an upward drift. A flagpole, a bull flag, will look something like this, okay, where the market's, this is all-time highs, and it pulls back from those all-time highs. So I would like to see it accelerate now to new highs. We're still kind of overbought longer term, though. But I'd have preferred it to pull back and then make a new leg higher as opposed to making a new leg higher now. So let's just wait and see what happens. NASDAQ Composite opening gap reversal, but it is off its worst levels for today, and it's not too far away from all-time highs, so we'll give it the benefit of the doubt for now. Rush 2000. Now, see, this is a little bit more what I like to see. Market gets overbought, pulls back, and then begins to thrust out of that pullback. So Rusty, like everything else, watch the prior breakout levels. If it comes back to those levels, again, all bets are off. E for shares, a little bit of a bounce today, but if you watch the market in a minute, recently, and trading services, of course, you can see that I talked about the fact that we stalled short of the prior highs, and it's still looking pretty toppy. So the rest of the world at this juncture is not buying it. Gold stocks not looking so hot. You can see the retrace back to the 50. You had a bow tie here, but then you had this big old deep retrace, and then they're beginning to die out. Welcome to the short side, right? You get short, and then the market does the mother ball retrace rallies. Biotechnology was improving, beginning to break down. Now it's kind of wide and loose and all over the place. The XBI looks a little bit better, but the XBI has pulled back to its prior breakout level. So this looks okay longer term. Little concerned that it pulled right back. It's good that so far it's trying to rally back up, okay? Some areas like retail, a little bounce today, but it's just kind of all over the place. It's stalling short of that prior high, so that's a little concerned. Software has been in a downtrend forever. And it's trying to bottom out, but now it's kind of weak again. We had a gap back here, so I wouldn't rush out and buy software. Although I am seeing some strength, pockets of strength here and there in software, and that's the beauty of Langer 100. I could go in and see where these things are stacking up. If you want to see Langer 100, I have updates on my Substacks. I always forget. I think it's Substack. .com/Dave Landry, or I don't know. I'll find it in a minute. See if I can find it in the background. Anyway, I'll figure it out later. I'll put a link in post. There should be a link in the comment section too. Anyway, software not doing so hot, but again, there is some pockets of strength there. Defense not doing so hot either. Defense is kind of topped out in here. The MG group looks a lot worse than this one. You can see it's seriously broken down. So sometimes it helps to look at more than one sector index to give you a feel for what's going on, but both of those are looking fairly ugly. Medical devices are banging out new lows with a bit of vigor today, notwithstanding a little bit of a dead cat bounce, but you can see this sector has just been abysmal. Major drugs have been ugly too. Again, today notwithstanding, but so far it looks like they've topped out and looking fairly ugly. All service stocks right here at all-time highs. I'm not going to argue with that. I was a little concerned recently when they went sideways. My only concern here is that energies overall have been looking toppy. But now you can see, as I said, the market a minute and service last night, if they keep rallying, then maybe they've dodged a bullet. But so far, this still looks like a deep retrace. But we're back above the 50. We're back above the bowtie moving averages. Those moving averages will flip back to proper uptrend order. So maybe energies dodged a bullet and maybe they're going to be okay. But I am still seeing some shorts in the energy. Semiconductors, I think we just talked about them, just off all-time highs. That's looking fantastic. So overall, things are looking pretty good. Lithium, look at that. Accelerating new highs with vigor. If it ever pulls back, we should see some setups there fairly soon. Quantum computing, bam, brand new highs. So lots of strength, but there's also quite a bit of weakness too. So it's not just across the board. So make sure you're picking your spots carefully. All right, any individual stocks you guys want to take a look at real quick? And then, or any questions while we're doing that? Let me check in with YouTube, see if there's anything happening there. Yeah, boy, the lag there is crazy. Okay. Going once, going twice. Well, we're in the past. I want to thank everybody for attending. I appreciate taking time out of your busy schedule. And if you can answer, shoot me an email at dave@davelander.com. If you're in Facebook, obviously just hit me up there on the, or if you're in the Facebook group, Dave Landers Trend Traders. Everyone have a fantastic weekend. I'll hope to see all you guys and girls again next week. And everyone, I think most everyone here is also in the group. So I'll see you at Facebook in a few minutes. I think that's it. So may the trend be with you. Thank you so much. You're welcome.